Let's have a prayer, shall we, before we open God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your Word this morning, that you'll be here with us by your Spirit, so that we may appreciate the message of the story that we're looking at in part today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon for this morning, my message for this morning, is Two Lost Boys. We know this story by another name. And the title that we know it by generally refers to only one of the boys. We generally know this story by the title of the prodigal son. If you have your Bibles, Luke 15. Luke 15. Luke 15, and beginning with verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. We know this well. Son saying to his dad, Dad, I want out. I want to try the world. I want to do my own thing. I'm sick of it here. I'm sick of it. Stretch my wings. Try the world a bit. Have a bit of fun. They said, okay. Here's your inheritance. Got it together. Rounded up the chariot and the horse, and off he went. To a far country. And how often it is that we all think that the further fields, the fields over the fence is greener. You see it with animals. They poke their heads through the fence to get to the green bits over the other side. And we as humans are no different. The grass is always greener somewhere. And yet it was good fun while the money lasted. But then the Bible says that the money ran out and began to be in want. Began to be in want. Verse 16 gives a beautiful and yet very sad description of how, and come back to verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine, and he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. You know, instead of being in charge, he was now in a mess. Instead of being the one in control, he was now being the one being controlled. We all like to be in control, don't we? The dreams had fallen apart. The dreams had crumbled. And there he was, sitting there feeding these pigs. And for a young Jewish boy, it would have been an absolute insult to feed these useless pigs. And while he was sitting there so hungry, The Bible says in verse 17, he came to himself. He came to himself. Verse 17 to 19, we said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, the beautiful key thing here is that the son eventually came to himself. And he realized that, hey, things at home are maybe not so bad after all. The hired servants are getting a better deal than this. I blew it. Head for heart. And I guess the beautiful thing that we see happening here is that the son was even brave enough to think about heading for heart. You know, God is always keen when children head for heart. God is always willing for his children to head for heart. And here we have a son who was thinking, well, maybe home's not so bad after all. Head for home. So the son begins the trip home, verse 20. And he arose. He arose and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this thy son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Began to be married. The son is heading home. Makes up a speech. Got a speech prepared. But little does he realize or appreciate that the father was looking out for him. Father's looking out for him. And you know, the same rule applies to us, that our Heavenly Father is always looking out for us. God's looking out for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And this earthly father, in the same way, was looking out for his son, waiting for him to come home. And when he saw him, a bedraggled mess coming up the roadway, somehow he saw through that mess and said, hey, that's my son. And running down to meet him, he didn't bother to wait till the son finished his little speech. He wasn't interested in that. It was his son. Bring a good robe, will you? A ring. Put a ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. Give him back respectability. We don't see where the father blasted his son for being such a fool. There's no need to. The son already knew. God doesn't tell you that. God doesn't have to tell us when we do wrong. We already know. We know when we blow it. Don't we? But God is forever willing to reach out with loving arms and say, hey, I want to lift you up. And the father was ever so willing to take hold of his son, give him a decent robe, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Hey, you're my son. You're back. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party tonight. The boy's back. The boy's back. it was also the other son. Also the other son. Verse 25. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and wouldn't go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, that this thy brother was dead, and is alive again. It's lost and is found. We look at the response of the second son. What on earth are they doing to hold a party for this brat? He goes away, wastes some money, spends it on wild women and song, and now he comes home. And now we throw a party for him. Why? Doesn't deserve it. Dad, I've been obedient all my life. I've done the right thing. Everything you've asked me to do, I've done it. Why can't you throw a party for me? In fact, you've never disowned a party for me. What's the problem? When you look at this story objectively, what we discover is that both boys were lost. Both boys were lost. And the reason why they were both lost is that neither of them knew their dad. Neither of them knew their dad. One was lost, he'd gone away and got lost. The other boy was home, but he was equally as lost because of his attitude. Why were they lost? What was the problem? Why did the problem arise? How come we got this mess? And the answer is plainly, very, very simply, they didn't take the time to know their father. They forgot they were the son. And friends, we need to remember that we are God's children. How does God see us? How does God look upon us? Come with me, if you will, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 verse 6 and 7. We are of God. God is our Father. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Here in these verses, the message of love. Love is of God. Love is born of God. Love comes from God. Do you know? Do you appreciate that God loves you? Do you believe that God loves you? What a difference it would have made if only the boys had appreciated that their father loved them. If they had taken the time to know their father as a dad, to appreciate that he cared for them as sons, what a difference it would have made. What a difference it would make to us if we also appreciate that the God in heaven who we worship loves us as his children. 1 John chapter 4, come back there again, please. Verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. You know, here in these verses we see a demonstration of the love of God. That he was willing to send his Son to pay the price of sin. In other words, our sin is dealt with through the mercy of a loving God. Take the two sons. There they were, living on that property with everything provided for them. Dad owned the lot. Didn't have to pay for the property. It's going to be theirs. It's going to inherit it. And as a son, they had the position of ownership, of sonship. So the property would become theirs. But because neither of them appreciated that fact, they transferred themselves to the position of being lost. They didn't appreciate that, hey, this property is ours. I'm a son. It brings with it privileges. I remember in a DVD I have at home, not a DVD, a video I have at home, it's an old one. It's Elvis Presley by the Presleys, where they interviewed Elvis's family. And in this video, there's a beautiful little illustration which I think is so special. When Lisa Marie tells him when she was about 8, going to school, every Friday, a big black limo was turned up at the school. And she would see that limo and say, hey, time to go. Time to go home to Dad. Why? Why would you say that? She was a daughter. She was a daughter. She knew that it was there for her. These boys did not appreciate that the property they were living on was theirs through sonship. You and I have a heaven to gain. We've got a beautiful future to look forward to. Hey, we're a son of God. We're a child of the King. Do we appreciate that? Do we fully appreciate that? Do we see ourselves in a position of sonship? Do we appreciate the honor that it brings and that it is there for you and for me today? God, our Heavenly Father, sees you as a child, His special child. There's a mansion in heaven, and it's got your name on the front door. First John chapter 4. Verse 15. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that God, that the love that God has for us, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. Think about it. God dwelling in you. God dwelling in you. And that really, what we have happening here is the building up of a relationship between ourselves and God. And that's what God wants. He wants to walk with you, talk with you, have a relationship with you, be a friend to you. He wants to know you and to love you as a friend today. And you know, if only the sons had taken the time to build up a relationship with their dad, to know their dad, to love their dad, to spend time with their dad, hey, what a difference it would have made to this story. Because dad wanted to know them. Their father loved them. We see that in the son. The father was consistent in his love for his two boys. He loved them. To be a friend with them, to have a close relationship with them, that's what he wanted. Why? He's their dad. He's their dad. He loved his boys. The problem wasn't the dad, the problem was the boys. And then in verse 18, he brings out a beautiful point. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There's no fear in love. There is no fear where love is. If we take the time to know God, then hey, we will therefore love Him. And in loving Him, fear is removed, is it not? That's logic. And likewise, if the boys had taken the time to know and to love their father, they would never have been afraid of Him. They would never develop the attitudes that they had. The problem would never arise. What a different story we would read. If only they had known love. Demonstrated love. Built up the relationship with Dad. Home would have been a happy place. It would be peace. It would have been joy. But it's got to be balanced. We're talking about love. And if they hadn't loved their dad, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 2 and 3 we read, by this we know that we love, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not what? They're not grievous. You know, if we love God, we'll obey Him. If we love God, if we want to serve God, then obeying won't be hard. And if the boys had taken the time to know their dad and have that relationship with him and to be a friend with him, it's quite obvious the dad loved the boys. It wouldn't have been hard to obey him. It wouldn't have been hard. But sadly, by not knowing their dad, by not building up the relationship with their dad, what a lot of heartache it caused for both of them. John 14, Jesus makes a statement. John 14. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. If you love me. Here in this verse, the order of things is put correctly. Love comes first, then you obey. If you really love me, you obey me. You see, if the boys had really loved their dad, they would have obeyed him. If the boys had loved their dad, there wouldn't have been the haggling. But is it really that simple? John 15. John 15. John 15. 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. In these verses, the key word is abide. Abide in me. Abide in me. To abide in him means that we take the time to associate with him. We become a part of him. We get close to him. And the closer we come to our Heavenly Father, the more we love Him and want to do as He says. Okay. And if we do that, we're on safe ground, aren't we? We're on safe ground as we abide with our Heavenly Father. And how much safer ground it would have been for the two boys if they had taken the time to abide in their dad, to know their dad, to love their dad. Abide. Psalm 46. Psalms 46. Psalms 46. Psalms 46. And verse 10, the first part. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and appreciate. You know, in the hustle and bustle of life, how often we need to be able to take the time out to simply be still. And know. And know our God. The boys never took time to be still. The boys never took time to be still and to simply think. We need to be careful we do not fall into the same trap. We can be so busy running around, chasing after this idea or that, that we forget to take time to simply be still and to know our God. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 19, first part. And to know the love of God, which passes, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know the love of God. Do you know God? Do you know His love for you? You know, to walk with Jesus is to know you're on safe ground. And what a big difference that can make in the life of one who is seeking God. To know Him. And if the boys had taken the time to know their father, they would have known that He loved them. If they had taken the time to know their father, they would have known that they were safe in His care. And the same applies to you and to me as well. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you today. Ephesians chapter 3. And the last part of verse 19 says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with the fullness of God, the end result being that you will have a life that is full of joy. That your life will be full. That the life has meaning and purpose. That each day is special. And what a difference it would have made to this story. What a difference it would have made. One final point. It is interesting to note that this story is open-ended at the end. We don't know what happened to the boys. Did they both come to their senses, as it were, and appreciated, hey, Dad's pretty good after all? Did the youngest son stay home? having come home? Or did the older boy wander away in disgust? We don't know. It's an open-ended story. Was there harmony in the home? Peace? We don't know. And here is a lesson for us to ponder. What about us? What about you? What will the story of your life read at the end? And for each of us here today, the story of our lives are not yet ended. But for each day, we are writing a new page. You know, last year, I had two family members pass away. One was my eldest brother, and the other was my aunt. My aunt was buried at the age of 93, and the funeral service took 10 minutes. And it's rather tragic when you think 93 years of living can be crammed into a 10-minute, in many ways, meaningless service. If the story of your life is written out, would it take 10 minutes or a bit longer? There are only 5 minutes at the funeral service for my sister. My aunt, the story of our lives are being written out day by day. And for this year, what story are you going to write? What story are you going to write? And for this year to have meaning, then may I suggest to you that we take the time to know our Father in heaven. If this year is going to have purpose, take the time to read His Word. If you want to have this year with a bit of depth, then hey, let us start a relationship with God to know Him as our Savior. If we are already reading His Word, then let us perhaps dig a little bit deeper and get to know Him more. After all, Jesus wants to know you more. You know, the boys failed to know their father, and it got them into a mess. May we not be guilty of doing the same with our Father.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through this year that lies ahead, may we know You. May we make the effort of knowing You more as our personal friend and Savior. To have that relationship with You. To appreciate and to know the love that You have for us. So that when You come, we will be ready to go home and meet with You. And to live with You. And to enjoy those wonderful things which You have prepared for those who are faithful. Dear Father, may we be found faithful on that day, we pray. Is our earnest plea. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.